Hi and welcome to SCL, the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. My name's Rob from robnonphoto.com and this is my little audio diary about my journey through the wonderful world of photography. Well, how is everybody? Hope everybody's had a great month. Sorry I haven't done an episode recently. I guess I've been, well, it's a normal excuse. I've been really busy at work doing lots of different things. What have I been doing? Apart from the podcast, I've been doing a lot of videos actually on YouTube as usual. I've kind of really got into the groove for recording videos using my 600D or my C920 webcam, you know, photography type stuff. And yeah, it seems to be going pretty well. So if you haven't already, nip over to robnonphoto.com. If you go on the right hand side and come down a bit, there's a link to go over to my YouTube channel and check out some of the videos. In fact, just at the weekend, I uploaded a guide to the Olympus Mu 2 or Stylus Epic, a fantastic small 35mm film camera that I have done videos about before, but I really wanted to have another crack at it to kind of create a really all-inclusive guide to buying the camera, using the camera, the little sort of hints and tips to getting the best out of that little Olympus compact. Because if you haven't heard of the Mu 2 or Stylus Epic already, it really is an amazing camera. I mean, when I talk about my favourite film cameras of all time, I know I do switch between, I tend to switch between the Olympus Trip 35, because I really like that camera because it hasn't got any batteries, so I can just pick it up, put some film in and shoot with it, and you don't have to worry about anything. The Minolta SRT-101, which again doesn't need batteries, it's a fully clockwork camera, and I've got a real soft spot for that camera because it's the film camera that got me back into film photography, really. Not that I was, since I was about 14, it's the one that I picked up from the car boot sale a few years ago from like a fiver with a 50mm 1.4 lens, and I really love it. But, you know, these are manual cameras, really. I know the Trip 35 has auto exposure, but you've got manual focus, where the Mu 2, which came out in 97, I think, or 98, is a real automatic camera. You know, it's auto focus, auto exposure, auto flash, but the difference is that it has this fabulously sharp f2.8 35mm lens, and it's incredibly small as well. It's just, you know, the fattest part of the camera is almost exactly the same size as a roll of 35mm film, and you can slip it in your pocket, and it has that amazing Olympus clamshell design that keeps it kind of away from water, and it's a shower-proof camera as well, so it's a really nice bit of kit. The only fly in the ointment with it is the fact that it does take batteries, but, you know, how can you have a fully automatic camera that doesn't take batteries? Well, you can't really. So I really love that little camera, I really do. So if you go over to the YouTube channel, you can check out that guide. I think the next guide I'm going to be doing is one for the SRT-101. I've got to dig it out of the drawers, write a little script and just talk about, you know, why you should think about shooting with an SRT-101, or if you see one, why it's a good idea to get one, and then where to buy it, and then using the camera. Because I really enjoy doing these videos. I guess because you know, if you can't do, teach, and that's that's kind of what I like doing. However, I have been out trying to take another sunset photo. Now, I know they say the things to avoid, aren't they? Are sunsets, kittens, and flowers? Are they the three things they talk about on Flickr all the time? But I do like a really good sunset. I think sunsets are one of the great spectacles of the natural world. And, I mean, I don't know. I think we're very lucky. I mean, I live on the south coast of the UK. And so, you know, if I go down to Leon Solent, you can see the sun go down. It does go down behind the land, but there's a big stretch of water in the front. And there are some spectacular sunsets down there, some really amazing ones. And I think probably, my most popular photo ever, which I think was last year, was a sunset photo from exactly the same place as I took this recent one. Because I just think they're amazing. And one of the things I try and do with my sunsets is I try and take them with telephoto lenses so that I'm kind of zooming in. But anyway, I kind of, because I've had a little spare time in the evenings before the World Cup started, but that's a whole another story, I was kind of going down to Leon Solent every evening, you know, at about 18 minutes past nine was when the sun was going down a couple of weeks ago, using my photographer's ephemeris to see exactly when the sun was going to go down and exactly which angle it was going to be going dipping below the horizon on. So I'd jump in the car at about 9 o'clock, zoom down to Leon Solent, jump out of the car, set up my tripod, and then start shooting. And I probably, there's probably 5 days, I would think, before I actually got the shot I was looking for. Because I, you know, I wanted it where the sun was going down, and the sun basically lit up most of the horizon, you know, in the view of my camera. But and putting and taking it with the 55-250, you know, zoomed out at 250, it was only a small portion. You know, if you looked at the whole scene with your normal eyes, you'd have gone, oh, it's a pretty sunset, but it's not amazing. But by zooming in, you can make a, you know, an average sunset look absolutely superb. And I also did a HDR effect on it. So I took 3 exposures, combined them in Photomatix, I think. Yeah, Photomatix. Went for a natural type of look, and the colours really pop out, makes it look a little bit surreal. But I think one of the problems with photographing sunsets is they never look as vivid as when you were there. But I think when you HDR things, you do get a really good impression of how amazing some sunsets can be. And I don't think I could ever get jaded with sunsets. I mean, now I've got that sunset in the bag for this year, you know, I'm not going to be jumping in the car and zooming down to Leon Solent to capture many more. But it was kind of, I wanted to share that with you because it was a good example of revisiting exactly the same spot night after night after night with a specific goal of capturing a sunset shot. And I did get it in the end, yeah, I'm pretty chuffed with it. I'll put the photo in the show notes for SEL episode 238 so you can see that. Maybe you've already seen it in my Flickr photo stream, but yeah, I was quite proud of the fact that I kept going down, and eventually I got the shot I wanted. Now, the other thing I've just done a video on about, which might be of interest to people out there, is about off-camera TTL flash. Now, this little bit of the podcast is a little bit Canon-centric, so my apologies to everybody else, you know, Nikon, Sony, and everybody else users. But maybe it'll turn you onto some of the features in your cameras too. And since I got my Canon 600D at Christmas, the Rebel T3i, as it's also known, I was very aware of the fact that the little pop-up flash that it uses can also be used as a commander unit to control other flashes. And I also knew that one of the budget Yongnuo flashes I picked up from the car boot last year, the YN565EX, was one such flash. But I never got round to really playing with it. I haven't done much flash photography this year at all. But I finally sat down and said, look, I should really have a look at this and see how it works. Because you know, I've watched the Strobis videos, and I think that having a good flash on your camera is probably the most important upgrade accessories anybody should get. I think you should have your, if you've got a DSLR, you should have your 18-55 kit lens. You should get your telephoto, like a 55-250 or a 70-300 or something like that. And then the next thing on your list should definitely be an on-camera, well, you know, a flash with a flip-up tiltable head, because it makes so much difference to your inside photographs, and it makes things like portrait photography so much better, and it opens up a whole new world of artificial lighting. So, anyway, I was aware that I could do ETTL metering. So what that means is that when you've got your pop-up flash on your camera, when you take a photograph, you know, in aperture, priority mode, shutter priority mode, auto, or program mode, the camera works with the pop-up flash in order to, you know, control the exposure, so you get a nice looking photo, so it's not overexposed or underexposed. But if you get a budget type flash that goes on the top of your camera, a lot of these are just manual flashes, so the only way to control the power of them is by adjusting the buttons on the back of the camera, on the back of the flash, sorry. And so the camera can't talk to the flash. When you move up to something that can talk to the camera, like the YN565 or any of the sort of, you know, Canon or Nikon or Sony flashes for their respective camera systems, they work together. And so the camera talks to the flash talks to the camera, and they make sure they get a nice exposure with the flash. But what happens when you take the flash off the camera? Because that's when everything gets really dynamic, isn't it? You can get really nice looking shots. Well, the problem is most of the time you lose that communication of exposure. So all of a sudden that expensive flash becomes a manual flash again. Or maybe you're using radio triggers, so they're basically just popping the flash, and you've got to go back to pressing the buttons on the back of the flash to change the power, which is okay if you're in, you know, a studio situation with the subjects that are just kind of sitting there. But if you're in a moving situation, say you've got a grandchild running around in different parts of the house, you know, that doesn't always work, and you might well miss some shots. And what you can do with the 600D, or, you know, the relevant sort of Canon cameras, is that they use the pop-up flash to talk to a compatible off-camera flash, like the Yongno YN565EX, with giving you TTL, so through the lens metering for the flash, with no extra bits at all. Basically, the flash kind of fires this Morse code, the pop-up flash fires this Morse code to the big flash, and the flash fires back, and that's how they work out what the proper exposure should be. Now, this all happens in a fraction of a second. You don't see any of this strobing going on, but it's very, very clever indeed. So, basically, I did a video showing you how to do this, how to set up your Canon 600D or Rebel T3i so that it would talk to the YN565 and the YN565 would talk back to the 600D. And it's absolutely amazing the fact you can have wireless automatic flash with no wires and no radio poppers, nothing in between at all, and it works fine inside to quite long distances. Obviously, if you're outside, it won't work so good in bright sunshine. But I was very, very impressed indeed. So if you've got one of the newer Canon cameras, and I'm sure Nikon have a similar sort of system, maybe with a commander on the top, get something like the YN565EX, or there's a couple of others, Yongno ones, or the proper Canon flashes, and you've got automatic flash without anything else. It's so cool. And in the video, I was only showing you how to do it with one flash, but you can do it with multiple flashes in different groups, so they can be at different powers. And you can adjust the power of the flash from the back of your camera without having to touch it, which just kind of blew my mind. And I really enjoyed that too. So if you haven't already, check it out. It makes off-camera flash so easy and so cheap as well, because there's no mucking around buying expensive pocket wizards or anything like that. Now, this will be a short podcast this week because I'm actually looking at the clock and it's 10 minutes into the Holland Argentina game. In fact, I'm sitting in front of the telly, so I'm just going to turn the telly onto ITV to see if there's been any goals yet. Let's have a look, because last night I was actually catching up watching Holland 0 Argentina 0. I was catching up watching some old episodes of Sherlock, the Sherlock Holmes program, and I thought it had gone about half an hour into the Brazil game, and I thought, alright, I'll turn it on now because I'm sure it'll be warmed up, and it was 4-0 to the Germans already, so I'd miss, you know, some of the most exciting bits of the game. And is that amazing? Oh, it finished 7-1. Unbelievable. What a game. What a World Cup we've had. Been absolutely brilliant football. Lots of goals in this World Cup, which is unusual. Lots of shenanigans going on, which is all built to the drama, I think, in the kind of Shakespearean aspect of football. But it's been very good indeed. Anyway, let's talk about football and more talk. Hello, Messi's got a free kick. He's going in. Ooh, nice defending. Anyway, I'm getting a bit distracted. So let's go back to our new photo assignment for July. I know it's the 9th already, we're getting a bit behind, but if you go over to robinandphoto.com, the assignment for July is landscapes at dawn and dusk. So take any new photograph that relates to that, a landscape or a photo, any type of photo taken at dawn and dusk, and put it in the photo pool. Share it with everybody else. Inspire us all. Remember, it's just for fun. There's no prizes unless you choose to enter Amateur Photographer of the Year, which is open to everybody. And there's links over there. Then you know, you might win a camera. But remember, that's nothing to do with RomanOnPhoto.com or the SCL Photography Podcast. And we're just kind of copying that for the year to get some inspiration and how to do that. So there we go. Landscapes at dawn and dusk. Go over to RomanOnPhoto.com, click on the link to take you to the Flickr group, and have a go. So that's it from me this week. I told you it was just a short podcast, so apologies. I'll do a longer one next time. Thanks to everybody for posting their photos in the Flickr group. Amazing work being done. Thanks to everybody who's posts on RomanOnPhoto.com. Thanks to everybody who sends me emails. I really look forward to getting emails from listeners and people who watch the YouTube videos. It means an incredible amount to me. So, you know, even if you just want to say hello, drop me an email, scalespeeder@gmail.com. It really makes my day. And that's about it, really. And hopefully, pretty soon, I'll see you on Flickr.